Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is our Director's Cut episode featuring Amy King, which has been brought to you without commercial interruption by Abstract Fiber, the best place to buy the most beautiful yarn and fibers ever. We did this interview, I believe, right after we interviewed Beth Smith, because Beth and Amy were in the same room together with us at TNNA in January of 2011, and it's a brilliant interview. Amy is interesting and concise, and she's written a great book called Spin Control, which she'll talk about a bit in the interview. So without further ado, here's the interview. This week we're joined by Amy King of Spunky Eclectic. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So let's talk about who you are really quick in case people aren't familiar and what you do.
I am owner dyer of Spunky Eclectic. Mm-hmm. I do hand-dyed fibers and yarns, but it's been mostly the focus on fibers. I wrote the book Spin Control. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher, just basic, you know, big spinner.
Okay. So how did you start spinning? Where did you get your start? How did spinning come to you?
It was, you know, I was a knitter and crocheter since I was a little kid, and it just came to the point where I wanted something different out of my yarn. Mm-hmm. And there was these spindles on eBay. And it was just like, okay, I'm going to try that. And it was just, you know, the same little toy wheel spindle that I outgrew within the first week or so that I had it, and, you know, quickly went and bought myself a good one, and it was just kismet.
Excellent. And then at some point you moved to a wheel.
At some point I spun on the spindle for a good two and a half years. And then I was like, you know, I really want a wheel. I want to be more productive. So I got a wheel.
Okay. What was your first wheel?
It was an Ashford Traditional. Mm-hmm. It was not the wheel that I thought I wanted. I thought, oh, I don't want any princess wheel. I don't want anything that looks like old-timey traditional stuff. I want something new and modern. So I really thought I wanted the Louettes. And then I went and tried everything out. And I was like, no, for the yarn I want to spin, this is what I, you know, I tried every wheel that I could. And that was the one I ended up with that I really liked.
Is that the one you're still on, or have you moved on to other wheels?
I have something like 17 wheels at the moment.
Really?
So, yeah, I have moved on. I have a Louette now, too, but most of my wheels, there's a purpose. You know, each one I prefer to do a certain type of yarn on, so I do actually use almost all of them.
Interesting. Now, how do you have them stored? I'm just curious how you would store 17 wheels.
They're everywhere. There are four of them that are kept at the shop. Mm-hmm. And the rest are at my home. Mm-hmm. And there's two in my husband's office. There's four in the living room. There's one in the bedroom, one in the kitchen. And the rest are downstairs. We have our house had an apartment in the cellar. So we have now taken that over with our exercise equipment, and the wheels live with that.
It makes sense. They're related, you know, spinning wheels.
Spinning wheels, treadmill, you know, it's all the same.
Exactly. It's true. I get the same benefit out of both of them. They both help me sleep. So let's talk about, you mentioned your book.
Mm-hmm.
So what brought you to writing a book about spinning? How did it go from let's try this thing so I can get the yarn I want to 17 spinning wheels and a book?
Gosh, I don't even know how that came about. I mean, I might be able to blame Abby Frankelmont for the book, mm-hmm. Simply because I like to blame her for things when she's not here. Mm-hmm. But it was just one of those things, like, this doesn't exist, and it's a knowledge that I have, and I'd kind of like to share it with a wider audience. So I just, you know, I started writing down notes and put in proposals and, you know, got it back, and they accepted it, and went from there.
And that's all she wrote.
And that's it.
So speaking of sharing knowledge, is there one tip you could share with spinners out there that you would really recommend, that really changed something for you?
Use the good fiber. It doesn't just change it for me, but it changes for a lot of people. I hear a lot of people go, but that fiber is just so precious. I'm using this crap that I got. You know, I don't really like it. It doesn't really spin well. It's partially felted, but I'm using that until I get better. You're never going to get better unless you use the good quality fiber, because nobody does good yarn on stuff that's felted or really matted or stuff that they don't like. You're never going to really expand your ability unless you're using the stuff that's good and the stuff that you like to use.
So the stuff that you like to use would be?
Fiber-wise?
Yes.
Gosh, just about everything. I don't like anything that's obviously felted or matted or poorly prepared. You know, I like to have a fiber that's really well prepared. If it's dyed, I like it to be dyed well and not have, you know, matted spots or anything. I just want it to be able to spin it right from when I get it. So, and it doesn't really matter which breed it is. You know, my favorite breed is the one that I'm using at the moment.
Oh.
So it's just, I just really like almost all the breeds out there and the blends, and there's a lot of fun stuff available these days. So it's kind of nice.
Is there anything you don't care for?
Some of the more unnatural stuff. I'm not a huge fan of superwash. It just feels very unnatural to me. I'm not a huge fan of bamboo, but I am in blends.
Mm-hmm.
Same for like NGO and the soy blend, the soy silk and stuff like that. I'm not a huge fan of it all by itself, but in blends it can be really, really nice.
Excellent. Have you had any epic disasters with your spinning or your knitting or teaching or dyeing?
Oh, dyeing, there's always epic disasters. You know, there are the times where I will, you know, set, because I do really large batches these days, and it's usually, you know, at least 16 pounds at a time.
Wow.
So there have been times where I've put stuff, you know, to heat on the stove or in the oven and forget about it. There was a time where I had, it was only 8 pounds at that time that was going, and I just forgot it on the flame for 4 hours. And I come back, and it's just this big matted pile of fiber. And it's like, wow, there we go. Let's start over.
Slow cooked wool is not that great.
No, boiled wool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite something.
I think it happens to most people. You know, there's always, you know, stuff that's timed. There's always going to be a disaster. You just throw it away and move on.
Is there a tool that you particularly like with your spinning that you couldn't live without or that makes your life a lot easier?
I'm not sure that there is. I mean, I would have to say, you know, my Orifice hook is really nice, you know, because then I don't have to use a paperclip or some other. You know, there's always a way to devise something to make it easier. But, you know, there's really nothing that I could do without. I mean, like for fleece, I like to, you know, just pick it with my hands and just go. So there's not one of those tools that I absolutely have to have. I just, you know, there's a way around everything.
What do you do when you're not spinning?
I have two little kids that I homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do a lot of knitting. In the winter, it's mostly, you know, knitting and hockey and doing stuff with the kids. In the summer, it's gardening and canning, and I'm really big in the garden and doing the canning and putting up food. I love food a lot.
Do you have a favorite type of food that you like to either make or go out and eat?
It changes. Like, a lot of times I would say Indian food, mm-hmm. because, you know, the rest of the family isn't so hot on the Indian food. So, I really want to always go out for that. But if I've just had that, then I'm craving Thai or, you know, Japanese or something else.
What is your next thing that you're thinking about doing or trying? What's on the horizon?
There's more weaving in my future.
Mm-hmm.
I love to weave. It's really, really fun. So I'm looking forward to taking more classes and expanding my weaving horizons.
Is there something specific that spinning or weaving or knitting has brought to your life?
It's brought a lot of patience. I remember one incident where I used to do pottery craft shows because I was a professional potter for a while. And I was at a show, I was with my husband, and the promoters had kind of messed up, and I was anxious, and I wanted to just get set up, and I wanted to get everything done. We had traveled for 5 hours to get there, and stuff wasn't ready, and I was just kind of like, oh, I just want to get the show set up and get ready, and I was really anxious, and he's just like, you need to pull out your knitting and sit down. It's going to happen when it happens. And it was like, right, okay, and we'll just... And that's what I did. I just pulled out my knitting and just sat there, and it calmed me down. Because I'm just a go, 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 and I can't sit without having something in my hands.
Is there something specific that you find particularly calming to work on, or is it just what you're working on right then?
It's just what I'm working on. Sometimes it's spinning, sometimes it's knitting, sometimes, you know, if I've got the small loom with me, you know, it's the weaving. It doesn't matter. It's just something.
As long as it's fiber, it seems to work.
Yes. At our house, there's a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
So my husband's really into the hockey. And I like hockey, too, quite a bit. So we don't have cable anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So we spend a lot of time looking for shows that we want to watch. Or there is the hockey, because he bought a subscription to the hockey thing. And we... downloaded all the Walking Dead series.
Oh, so good.
Yes. But, you know, I spend a lot of time reading instead of watching TV.
Do you read and knit or read and spin?
Yes. I have a Kindle, and I will put that on my leg. It's way easier than books. Mm-hmm. And just usually spinning, not so much knitting. I like to watch a movie while I'm knitting. But spinning, I'll put the book on my knee and just spin and... you know, it's just a click of the page, and I don't ever stop spinning. It's just keep going and click and keep going and click.
So hang on. I'm trying to envision this because I also love my Kindle, and I can knit and read, but I haven't quite figured out how to spin and read. So you just sit with your feet on the treadles.
My feet are on the treadles. The Kindle's right on my thigh near the knee, mm-hmm. and I just... It's got the book cover that doesn't have... The back cover is kind of sticky. Mm-hmm. It's like the felt cover. So the back of a Kindle is really slippery, but the books that they're in have like the moleskin or the felt so that they protect the screen. So if you fold it all the way open and you have that sitting on your knee, it doesn't go anywhere.
Hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out something to like rig it up. So it was up here.
But then that's annoying because then you'd have to go forward. You'd have to stop spinning because you'd have to go forward and hit the next page. And they're such short pages. So if it's on your knee and it's like a fluid hand movement over the book, you mm-hmm. just tap it and continue back drafting.
See what I read on Ravelry, because we all love Ravelry, mm-hmm. is you can put it on read to you mode and it'll flip the pages for you if you just mute the sound.
I didn't know that.
Right?
As long as you're reading as fast as the computer, but yeah.
I read a little bit faster, and I think you can mess with the speed, but...
Oh, I didn't know that. That's really... Okay, now I'm going to try that.
What?
We should have a recipe of blueberry lime... What is it? Jelly jam?
The jam?
Blueberry lime jam.
You make blueberry lime jam?
I make all kinds of... I have a root cellar where mm-hmm. we fill it up, and... I think I had over 100 jars that I put up this year of jams and pickles and sauces and stuff. Because we had a really... I have a garden with my mom because mm-hmm. She's a quilter. She does quilt shows. And her shows are at slightly different times of the year than my fiber shows. So she usually plants the garden. We weed it together, and I have to do a lot of the harvesting. So... It works out really well because we each had our own separate garden. We live next door to one another, mm-hmm. and we had our own separate gardens, but both of our gardens were failing because we kept neglecting them at certain times of the year. And now together it worked out really well. And we had a huge garden with a lot of produce.
What kind of stuff do you grow?
We had tomatoes and cabbages, cucumbers, green beans, melons, eggplants, pumpkins, squashes, Brussels sprouts, broccoli. There was a lot of... It's a huge garden.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And now... And we're looking at more. We're putting in an orchard a little bit at a time. We got 3 apple trees this year, and we're working, trying to figure out what we're going to put in next year. We're going to do more potatoes and just more because it worked out really well.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I really like, and you know, obviously we're really into the mother-daughter thing. I really like that, not necessarily that your gardens failed independently, but that it thrived so much with both of you guys working on it together.
They prospered together, yes.
Yes. Well, my mom and I have always worked well together. We used to work together when she had a ceramic company. And, well, she still has the ceramic company, but it's not big enough to support, you know, any employees anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was really good working with her. And, you know, we see each other a lot, living next door to one another. And we just work really well together.
That's excellent. And I'm sure it was an active decision to move in next door.
Yes. Well, it's family property where we live. Mm-hmm. My grandparents bought up a whole lot of property at one point and sold it to their kids. So my house is in between my parents, who's living in the house that my mom grew up in. Mm-hmm. So it was their house. I live in the house that I grew up in. And then my aunt lives next door to me.
Oh, that's excellent.
And then across the street, there's another family that did the same thing. There's, you know, a mother and father and all their kids who are grown, who are my age or older. There's six houses.
That's so incredible.
It's kind of neat. It's an old family street.
That's the best. Do you ever spin for your mom's quilts? Does she ever say, I'm really looking for something like this to tie my quilts or something like that? I don't really know much about quilting.
I've dyed for her quilts.
Ah.
Like when she's needed a certain fabric color and she couldn't find what she needed, she's come to me and, you know, she's given me plain muslin or plain white and she's been like, I need it like this color. I need it to do something to blend. So I've dyed fabric for her quilts before. But I make her yarn. I taught her to spin, but she doesn't really like to do it. She knits socks a lot mm-hmm. when she's on away at shows and traveling and stuff. So I spin a lot of yarn for her.
Excellent. Do you have a lot of quilts at home that were your mom's?
Yes. They're just nice. I mean, my grandmother does a lot of Afghans, so we have a lot of Afghans from her. And my favorite ones are these big flannel rag quilts that my mom does.
Do you sew at all?
I do sew. I sew a lot of clothing for myself and my little girls.
Excellent.
Yeah, little girls are a lot of fun to
sew for. Yeah.
Way better than little boys. I have a couple of nephews, and they just don't care. You know, when they were real little, I could make them, you know, shorts or PJ pants, but they just are like, whatever. But the girls are, oh, I want a dress, I want a new dress, I want a new skirt. So that stuff is really easy to do. And, you know, they will go down. I have my fabric stash almost rivals my yarn stash.
I was going to say, do you want to talk about your yarn stash and your fiber stash a little bit?
I have, it's actually, there's, you know, people that know of it, you know, find it quite entertaining. In my cellar, we have a drop ceiling mm-hmm. where there's about a foot of space, and most of it is filled up with yarn or fiber. Because, you know, I ran out of space on the floor, and, you know, I have my loom down there, and I have my two sewing machines, and we've got the exercise equipment and all of the stash stuff, and it just became that it was too much stuff for the bins. You know, we had a lot of plastic bins and stuff. So I kind of looked up one day, and I realized that there was a lot of unused space. So it's kind of a big stash. I've been stashing since I was a teenager. So there's some old stuff in there.
Excellent. And it sounds like you got a lot of support at home for stashing and otherwise.
Yeah, they all support it. Every now and then my husband will say something, and he'll be like, really? Because, you know, he'll be working out on the treadmill, and he's kind of a big guy. He's 6'8", and he kind of gets the thing moving a little bit, and fiber will fall down on him. So, you know, I'll get a little, some of this needs to be moved away from the treadmill. But other than that, you know, they're usually like, whatever.
Now, do your girls knit or spin yet?
Or
are they too little?
Yeah, the 5-year-old, she always loved spinning. She thought that was the neatest thing. So she will sit at a wheel and she will treadle and she will just put fiber in. Her favorite wheels are the more expensive ones, the shacked Reeves, mm-hmm. and I have a couple of original Reeves. Those are her favorite wheels of mine.
She has excellent taste.
Yes, she's got really, really good taste, high-end taste. She's a little worrisome. And the older one, she's a crocheter. She just really likes to crochet.
Do they pick out of your yarn stash, or do they have their own little burgeoning stashes? Developing stashes?
She's got her own stash. She kind of knows not to touch mine because mommy's a little grumpy, and, you know, it's her stash. But if she wants something, she's welcome to ask for it. But for Christmas, she got a large lantern moon basket with a bunch of hand spun and some of my stash yarn that I knew she liked. So she's got enough to keep her busy for a little while.
It's like the best gift ever.
I know.
Here's a fabulous knitting basket full of fabulous things.
She was excited. She was excited because it was, you know, it's kind of the present everybody wants. Beth and I joke about you know, joining the Spinning Loft and the Spunky Eclectic someday. Someday it might happen. If she moves.
You can find everything mentioned in this week's episode on our show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Everlaps as knitmoregirls. And we have a great Ravelry group full of interesting people, and you should absolutely be a part of it.
This is Amy,
Jasmine,
and Gigi
telling you to spin more.